The weekly long box is brought to you by Drobo. Drobo is a hard drive system that protects all of your digital files against drive failure. If that's ever happened to you once, or even know someone whom it has happened to, you know what a disaster it can be. Check out Drobo.com. And by Handy Holder. Have an expensive tablet or a Kindle? Protect it with the world's first and best universal tablet holder. Check them out at hand, the letter E, holder.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 49 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Leonard, joined by Todd. Todd, how are we doing today?
I'm doing fantastic.
So we got a light news week, but we got tons and tons of stuff to talk about. How was your week, Todd? I saw you tweeting the other day that you made some big crazy purchases of late.
Yeah, I'm going eBay crazy lately, it seems. I learned how to use that and the PayPal and stuff, you know, and you didn't even have to hold my hand at all.
Yes, I know. The internet is your nemesis.
Mm-hmm. All of it. But yeah, I picked up Jonah Hex issue I need. I think that finishes up my Bronze Age run of just the Jonah Hex issues. Still need some weird Western Tales to flush it out. And I picked up a complete run of Doom 2099 with FF 2000 or 2099 to go with. There's like 8 issues of that. So that's like gravy on top.
Now, are those crossover issues to the 2099 run? To the Doom run?
I don't know, because I've never read any of the Doom 2099, which, you know, people probably berate me saying I'm such a Doom fan, but I don't know, and I know they came out later, so I don't even know if he's in them. They might have just been throwing it in on top as a fun thing.
Gotcha.
I'll take them.
I know the Warren Ellis issues that he wrote of Doom. It's like the tail end where, like, he takes over the world. Spoiler. That's being collected here in the near future. I think it's coming out in April from Marvel. And I'm actually waiting. That's a trade I'm waiting for, because that's like a cool collection of stuff that like you thought you'd never see again.
Yeah. Well, when I saw the deal on, you know, all of them at once, because I was trying to put them together, it shows, you know, you get one here, you get one there. I was like, nah, I hope to really see one. I was like, oh, right price with shipping. Bam. Bye.
Yeah. We finally, just this past week, opened the last of the baby's birthday gifts from 3 weeks ago when his party was, or whenever it was. And just in time, we had to go across the street to the local drugstore to pick up a birthday card for someone. It's like May and October, where like everyone I know's birthdays all culminate. Mm-hmm. And as I was walking through the aisles, they had the Christmas candy out. So if that was not an omen for me to start my Christmas shopping, I don't know what is. And I've actually started my Christmas shopping, and like I have way more done now here in October than I have in quite some time.
I didn't put a want list up on online yet. So, but when I do, I'll send it to you.
You know, there's a wish list. There's a bone of contention. You know, the wrestling world, this is the comic book world. I don't know if any of the comic professionals do this, and maybe some of our listeners can point this out to us. But it's a big thing in the wrestling world of wrestlers to have Amazon wish lists and say, hey, fans, if you're a big, you know, if you like me a lot, go buy me something off my Amazon wish list. And the debate is out whether or not that's a reputable thing to do.
I know a certain type of actresses do that too, but so that's all I'm going to say.
Right. Yes, that's a true statement as well. I have an Amazon wish list, but it's more so because I forget things, and that's my way of writing stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear somebody like talking about a book or something like that, I'll be like, oh, let me go add that to my Amazon wish list, so I'll know when that comes out, because it'll send you an email that says, hey, this thing that you added to your Amazon wish list has a release date, or hey, this thing that you added to your Amazon wish list that was originally $19 is now $12, you know?
Is that the story you're sticking to?
Or? Yes.
Okay, just making sure. Just making sure, because I think it might be for the Send Leonard Cool Stuff campaign that you had going there a while back.
No, believe me, if you want to send me cool stuff, I'm not, you know, I'm not adverse to that, but I'm not going to actively solicit.
Me either. I'm not one of those, but you're basically using it as an electronic notepad for all the cool stuff that you want. I can see that. See, my brain is like a steel trap, so I keep all of that stuff up here.
Oh, goodness. Well, getting into comics news, there wasn't a ton of actual comic news. It's a lot of movie and TV talk over the last 7 days here. A big conspiracy involving the DC Nation cartoon block on Cartoon Network.
Yes.
We will be seeing the Justice League movie soon, maybe, possibly.
Big question mark.
The Iron Man the Iron Man 3 trailer went up online yesterday, and we actually have a big release date on a digital exclusive. Well, not so much as a digital exclusive, but a digital thing that we talked about a couple weeks ago here on the show. We also have the books that we read last week. Both Todd and I pretty much crossed over on everything, whether it be Daredevil, whether it be Hawkeye, or Walking Dead. And we may throw a little Walking Dead, the AMC TV show, in here as well. Spoiler-free, of course, and we'll have the book that we're most looking forward to coming out this week. And, of course, our Twitter question from last week, which was the best team in comics.
And I think, you know, there was a lot of good answers on this one. I think a lot of people were in the correct line for this stuff.
Yes. And I think you and I are bad hosts because I know what your answer is. And, you know, obviously I know what my answer is. I'm not that much of a dum-dum. But a lot of our listeners, I'd like to think that they made their choices because they listen to this show and we're a good influence on them.
I agree with you.
We keep them off the street, they keep selling that grit, and they're going to be able to buy more comic books.
That's what it is. We try to feed the habit here on the Weekly long Box.
And I did get a chance to listen to Todd's appearance on Jim Metzendorf's show, our great editor, The Comic Shack, last week, and he did not tell that great New York Comic Con story that we teased here last week. So he is going to close out the show with that story.
Yeah, because I said I'm not the wordsmith that you are, so I didn't know how to work it in there. And I have to say, your appearance on Jim's show was like JLA meets the Avengers, and mine was more like Punisher meets Archie.
I was hoping you would say it was an issue of Secret Defenders, but alas.
No, Punisher meets Archie, that's what I'm thinking.
I think, you know, and this is just real quick before we get into the news and the actual meat of the show. I haven't gotten a chance to read it yet, that Untold Story of Marvel, that book that came out a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And I really want to read it, and I've been reading, like, different, like, reviews and different people putting, like, excerpts and chapters and stuff. And there's talk in there about the 90s where, like, they interview some of the editors. And, like, the editors are essentially saying, like, yeah, we were just putting out utter garbage. We knew.
What? The 90s at Marvel was utter garbage? Spoiler alert / news flash.
No, there was some good stuff once it got toward the middle of the 90s. But, you know, there was a couple parts in like from 1990 to 93 that were, you know, questionable.
I don't know about that. I think it was all gold.
Well, getting into the news, you know, we'll get into the Young Justice thing. Not so much the Green Lantern animated series. It's good, it's fine, you know, but it's not the Young Justice cartoon animated series. It's a cartoon, come on. I watch it, I love it. And there was a conspiracy because the weekend of New York Comic Con, it was on the schedule to air. And then all of a sudden, if you DVR'd it instead of Young Justice and Green Lantern, you got episodes of the How to Train Your Dragon animated series as opposed to, like, the movie or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The original line that Cartoon Network said was, well, it's our 20th anniversary, and we wanted to put something different on in that space, and this is what we chose. And then after the weekend was over, they're like, yeah, we did just bring these shows back 3 weeks ago, and we're not going to show, you know, the episodes that were scheduled for today, but we'll be bringing it back in January. See you then.
Sounds legit. All right. Of it. All stories that I've heard so far.
I'm sure there was some sort of reasoning for this. Maybe some of the episodes of Young Justice may not have been done, and they just want to get them all out in a clip. But I'm sure Todd has read up on this, because when there is one person who is an aficionado of the conspiracy theory surrounding this character, Todd is not unlike former Governor Jesse the Body Ventura when it comes to Stephanie Brown.
Yes, I heard that she had a cameo in this episode. And if that's what happened, that's what shut this down. Dan Didio with his big ham fist just like grabbed the phone and he was like, Cartoon Network, shut it down. Shut it all down.
Right, he made the call from the con floor Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know. And the network scrambled. Quick, get something on the air, anything. Make up some story. We'll figure it out later. All the people that are watching this anyway. Oh, and you know, that's probably the reason they did it, because they figured anybody that would be watching it would be at Comic-Con anyway, wouldn't be able to watch it.
That or Dan wanted more waffles. He was hungry. That's well, all I could guess.
The episodes were up on iTunes that weekend, and I did get them from iTunes because I do need to have them in my collection, even though I am 2 weeks behind on most of my TV shows. Young Justice is one that I do make a point to watch because it is a good cartoon. And, you know, maybe it's just me. I have so much stuff to watch. I'm so far behind on most TV and movies from the last 13 months. You know, if they needed a couple extra months to get Young Justice out, then I'll, take your time. I don't think there's a conspiracy behind it. I know Todd does. I think he said that they removed Stephanie Brown from the episode using holograms or something.
A la Tupac from those rap shows. But yeah, she's been crisis out somehow again in TV. They just don't want her anywhere, so.
Yeah, okay, well, and, you know, there's people speculating that they have some sort of big plan for her, and maybe when the February books come out, because, you know, we do have four new books coming out for DC for the books that were canceled. We know one of them is the Justice League of America book coming in February. We don't know what the other three are, and maybe DC have just been patiently waiting for the right time to finally give Stephanie Brown the big push, if you will, that she deserves.
Waiting for that pot to boil over right at the last second.
That's
just
right.
That when the energy's at its biggest, and there mm-hmm. you go. And it's going to outsell Jim Lee, Geoff Johns, Justice League. Because with the clamor, it has to, right?
Right, it should, mm-hmm. definitely. You know, these people would be buying. That's the speculator book, if there ever was one.
Oh, lenticular cover, holofoil, die cut, embossed on that one.
And, you know, I mentioned it on Twitter. It just came to me. A lot of times my dumb ideas, you know, as I mentioned, my Amazon wish list is for like, oh, there's a book I'll forget about in 7 months when it actually comes out. Let me just put it on my Amazon wish list. A lot of times I have these dumb thoughts, and the way I remember them is I tweet them. And, all the people that complain about Steph Brown was taken away from us. Hey, I'm still waiting on that last trade of the Kate Spencer Manhunter and the Rebels, the last trade of the Rebels. You know, I have four of the five trades. That fifth trade was solicited and never came out. Where's that for me to finish my collection?
And you laughed when I bought those issues for the Kate Spencer backups. You were like, ha ha ha, I'm going to trade weight those. Well, who's laughing now, Leonard? Who's laughing now?
Well, you would very graciously offer to let me borrow those to read those. And by borrow to read those, I would rip those pages out and have them bound together in my own trade.
Good to know. Good to know. That's so knowledge I didn't have before that I could use now.
So if you want to bring them to the shop for me today, I'll get them back to you.
You know what? I might bring them. I might bring them. I might be that stupid.
Oh, goodness, goodness. So, moving off Young Justice, sticking with DC, they just announced that shooting will begin shortly on the Justice League movie. There is no casting as of yet, but Warner Brothers has said they are aiming for a summer 2015 release date, which I'm not sure if that is going to happen. For the myriad of reasons that have delayed this movie from the first inklings of it months and months ago. But also, summer of 2015 is also when the Avengers movie is supposed... Avengers 2 is supposed to come out, and I don't think Warner Brothers would be silly enough to go up against that.
I don't know. I think the Marvel movies are played out. I think they've hit the wall. No, I'm with you. I think that would be... You just don't even... Either one, which I think, you know, the Avengers might win. You just don't want to have those bragging rights that, like, Avengers beat Justice League. You can say, oh, well, the Avengers beat Batman, you know, this year. But you're like, that's one character versus a whole team of characters. But if you put Justice League up against Avengers and it tanks, I mean, you're just going to hear about it for the rest of, you know, to end of time.
Yeah, and you know, who knows? It could come to summer 2015. You know, between now and then, we start hearing the casting news, and we start hearing some good things about it. It starts getting some positive buzz, or, you know, it could be Green Lantern 2.
Is there a Green Lantern 2 coming?
I hope so. Oh, I hope every day that there's a Green Lantern 2 coming, because Ryan Reynolds hasn't buried that franchise enough.
I know his birthday is this week, so I know you're celebrating.
How dare you?
By watching Green Lantern Marathon all day.
I know one of the other podcasts I listen to, and I listen to a lot of podcasts, they were interviewing Joel McHale of The Soup and Community fame, and one of the hosts had said, you need to get your agent on the horn with Marvel, because they had said that he should play Deadpool in the Deadpool movie, which is still also in the hopper at Fox, and I would be all for Joel McHale playing Deadpool instead of Ryan Reynolds. He's fouled up enough comic book movies. Let's get somebody new in there, some fresh blood. And I like Joel McHale. He's funny.
If Joel McHale was going to play a character, I would like to see him play the irredeemable Ant-Man in the Avengers.
Oh, now that would be good.
Now, if they need any other advice, they can come to me and pay me, Marvel Productions. So I got plenty.
Right, right. They could just since you have your PayPal set up, they can just PayPal it to you directly.
And then that goes on my credit card?
I think that's how it works.
It's like I get credit miles or something. I don't know.
Well, you know, here's hoping that the Justice League movie is good, and here's hoping that they do, have a good product if they're hoping to put it out summer of 2015 against Avengers 2. I think just the buzz on Avengers 2 will be enough to pretty much beat anything that it goes up against that summer.
Yep, and it makes me wonder with Justice League, if they're going to reverse engineer it like Avengers did, because they don't have anything between now and then that I know of.
So Superman.
Superman, but is it going to be the same Superman?
I don't know. So they would be foolish not to try to get him on board.
I'm with you, but that's the only one. So then out of that, it seems like they would take the Justice League movie and then have to spin other, like, if they were going to, it would be the opposite they do with Avengers. Like, then you'd maybe have a Flash movie or a Green Lantern movie, though why you'd ever reboot that, I don't know. An Aquaman movie or whatever. So I think that could be kind of cool.
We shall see. Yep. Again, all we know is that I think there was some inkling, and we try to stay out of the legal wranglings that go on, but apparently there was a decision made in the Siegel-Schuster lawsuit against Warner Brothers in DC, in the favor of Warner Brothers and DC, which is why they're able to move on with this project, I guess.
For now, with those things, they just flip-flop back and forth, everybody making the money.
That is true, that is true. I think me and my son will be going to see the first Justice League movie on his 18th birthday.
Ooh, I think I want to go to that.
Yeah. Well, one last bit of movie news. The trailer just came out this past week, within 24 hours of the recording of the show, and that is the trailer for Iron Man 3, the full trailer, 2 minutes and change, lots of cool footage, lots of cool music, and Todd, did you get a chance to watch the trailer for Iron Man 3?
Mere minutes ago.
Oh.
So it's fresh in my noggin. It looked really good. I mean, you know, if that's your first trailer, you got me. I don't need to see any more. Shut up and take my money.
Right. And I, being that type of person, that is all I will be watching of that movie, of the footage of the movie between now and May. If I don't have enough willpower to hold off until then to see any more, read any more, anything else. Listen, I think when they showed Ben Kingsley's hands in the trailer, I think I'm like, all right, I've seen too much.
He has things on his fingers.
Yes.
And now I know too much. I'm with you. It looks really good. I may see like another trailer if it's during the Super Bowl or something like that. I'll watch it, but I'm out, but it looks fun. I don't know like what a lot of the things he's doing. He's like dragging armor through the snow. I'm like, I'll watch. Whatever. Fine.
And who the guy who's writing, you know, one of the writers and the director of the movie is Shane Black, who he's mostly a writer. I think this is one of the first movies he's directing, but he did a lot of the Lethal Weapon movies. He did Monster Squad, which is one of my favorite movies, and he also did Last Boy Scout, Last Action Hero. Last Action Hero is a great underrated movie. Everyone gives that movie a bad rep. But he did a lot of fun action-y movies, and I think he'll do okay with Iron Man 3.
Did he do Lethal Weapon 5?
He did. Lethal Weapon... he did all five Lethal Weapon movies. He was the writer on all three of them.
Okay. With Mac and Dennis, that was the good one.
Yes. Oh, goodness. You know, I haven't gotten a chance to watch any episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia this season yet.
Me either, because it debuted while I was at the con on Thursday night, and they don't have FX at the hotel. And then when I got back, I just forgot.
And if there was never a better ham-fisted segue into the actual show that I am keeping up on, and that is Walking Dead, I did get a chance to see the latest episode of Walking Dead mere minutes before we started recording the show.
That's how we do it. We're right up to game time.
That's right. We do our homework, and we work hard to make sure that we're up to date and give you the most current and best information. Mm-hmm. And it's almost sometimes factual.
I think 60% of the time we're factual.
Yes. And there's like a margin of error of about 45% there.
Plus or minus, yes.
Plus or minus. So, Todd, what did you think of this episode, spoiler-free, of course, of Walking Dead?
I really enjoyed it. I like the whole like prison aspect of it. The one thing that kind of threw me for a loop was, you know, Rick dealing with certain things that took a whole trade in the story. Just seems to go away really fast. But I really like the way they handled it, because I'm really digging. You know, in the trade at this time, Rick was more open minded and willing to work with people. Mm-hmm. And when they said the Ricktatorship is here, they meant it. So I thought there was some really cool stuff. I have some ideas on, you know, some of the stuff that's going on in the background. There seems to be maybe somebody lurking around. I have a few theories on that. And just all around, I thought it was a really good episode. And some of the newer characters seem interesting. I want to see where they go. And Carl had both I wanted to slap him moment and you're the man moment.
I don't know about the, I want to slap him moment, but, Carl is definitely the man, you know, stepping up, doing some stuff, laying it down to the Carl that is in the comic books. But this show is, you know, it's not as close, you know, it's not as close to the comic book, and it can't be, of course. As Todd mentioned, you know, there were things that took up an entire, like, 6 or 7 issues in the actual book that they just blew through in this, and that's the way they got to move things along. You know, we got to move things along at a quick clip. There's a lot we got to cover to get to the meat of this episode. And as you mentioned about the Ricktatorship, there was a scene with Rick, and I think the character's name was Thomas or Tomas in the episode, where if this was any other TV show, or if this was even the comic book, we would not have gotten a resolution of that disagreement as quickly and as succinct as we did here.
I totally agree, but the actions that led up to that makes it a total logical way things worked out.
And yes.
I just thought it was – I was like – wow, like, you caught me off guard, I'll tell you that much, so...
Yep, I totally did not expect him to do it. Like, I expected it to happen, but not in this episode.
Right, I just figured, like, Rick would be like, I'm gonna keep an eye out.
And yeah, then, we got bigger fish to fry. I'm gonna keep my eye on you, Tomas.
Mm-hmm. But nope.
But,
like I said, it's a good show. I like where it's going now. We've had our first episode where it was zombie destroying. You know, you have to get that action fun, and now we're kind of getting into the minds of stuff. And I think next episode we're going to get the Michonne and Andrea side of things. And I think that's what I'm waiting for too, is to see maybe, like, you know, a glimpse of the governor.
Yeah, and there was no Michonne or Andrea in this episode. And as you had mentioned, there was lots of hot zombie action in the first episode. There was some zombie action in this one. The way that the way that one zombie did his version of a David Copperfield to get out of those handcuffs was like, oh, that did my heart proud as a horror movie fan.
Yeah, and I do like the way the prison people decided to take care of the zombie people at first. Mm-hmm. I was laughing. I was like, yeah, they don't have a grasp on this at all, but it makes sense. And Rick brings it up later, and I'm like, that was the best way to bring it up, too.
Oh, goodness. But it was a really good episode. You know, you could always catch up on it. They do a really good job of showing the episodes a bunch. Even my, you know, my brothers picked it up. He caught the marathon that was on before the first episode was on last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever the season debuted, and he picked it up, and he's like, oh, it's a really good show. And I'm just like, yes, I know, it's a very good show. Everybody should be watching it.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes.
Does he send you little post-it notes of how the episodes were?
No, that's my other brother. He's already watching Walking Dead. He reads the book. You know, he watches the show. He's on point for that. This is my twin brother.
Ah, yes. I get so confused with all you Chikarisons.
It's a very big family.
It is. Seven brides for seven brothers big.
So, but you had mentioned about how we're going to see some more people in the next time on The Walking Dead. They give it away.
I try not to watch those.
Well, I don't. I know not to watch those, but like a lot of people are online are like, oh, here's that, you know, here's the spoiler of who's on next week's episode.
Mm-hmm. Me, like I said, even with any of those shows, I watch Hell on Wheels. Mm-hmm. I watch, you know, a couple other things on AMC or any show. It's like next week I'm like mute, eyes closed, give it a few minutes. Okay, what's on now?
Yep, so, yep.
And then, you know, I keep my head down. I don't have a lot of people I follow on the Twitter machine, so they don't bombard me with stupid stuff, or I shut it off for a while too.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that covers our Walking Dead talk and our news talk. And before we get into the books that we read from last week, I'm going to put this is going to be moved up further in the show, earlier in the show as opposed to the end of the show, and that is our discussion of digital comic books. And there is a ton of free stuff available for you this week through Comixology, and I'll put the links to everything up there. Always a lot of Marvel stuff. Marvel puts up a couple of free issues all the time, and you can peek around through DC's because they've got a lot of freestanding free books that are just kind of like evergreen free books, like the first issue of the David Goyer James Robinson JSA, which is great. The first issue of the Peter David Young Justice, which is always there, and that's great. But these ones are like limited time only. They're only up there for 7 days. From like the time our show goes up to next week's show, these will be gone. But this week we've got Ultimate Spider-Man number 156, which is the beginning of the storyline, which saw the end of Peter Parker in the Ultimate Universe. Yeah, not a spoiler. It happened like 2 years ago. The last Black Widow miniseries that they did, the Punisher in the Blood miniseries that they did as a lead into Rick Remender's run on the book. There's also a Madman origin story written and drawn by Mike Allred. That's up there for free as well. But also up there today on Comixology for free is the first issue of Quantum and Woody from Valiant Comics, because starting today, the first half of that series goes up for sale digitally, and then next week the rest, including the two previously never-before-released issues of Quantum and Woody, go up for sale.
How do I hook up my PayPal to this?
Oh, they'll walk you through it, Todd. They'll walk you through it. When I come to the shop later today, I can even show you how to download the app for your smartphone.
I can do that on my smartphone?
You certainly can, and you can have the comics anywhere you go, on your tablet device, your smartphone, anything you want to be.
Oh, that's awesome. I think I'm going to have to get me some Quantum and Woody.
Yes. And again, to our listeners who have never read this book, and this was like toward the tail end of the 90s when this book came out, it was a very different book, very much unlike whatever Valiant Acclaim was putting out at the time, and kind of the precursor for a lot of humor books, very in a very similar vein of books like the Giffen DeMatteis Justice League International, and books like that. And hey, the first issue is free. Check it out through Comixology. If you like it, I'm sure you will, and I'm sure you'll buy the rest of the issues that they have available.
Beautiful MD Bright art, and I have to say, one of the few books that I ever read that literally sitting by myself alone would make me burst out laughing out loud. just how much I love that book.
Oh, goodness. Yes, I'm very happy. I thought this was going to be a little bit later on that this was going to be released, because it was just announced at Comic-Con like 2 weeks ago, and now here it is. The whole run of it is going to be up in full over the over the course of the next 7 days.
That's the speed of digital for you.
Yes. Indeed, indeed. So where would you like to start with the books that we read from last week, sir?
Let's start with Daredevil, because, you know, I like this new book.
This new book. Now, yeah. I think we could talk about this, so, 'cause something big happens in this book.
I would say so. By the end, I was like, what's going on?
Yes, I would say something big happens in this book, and we could talk about it, because it's right on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And it's less about the, I guess, you know, what the big reveal is, but more so about the journey of how he gets there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so I would agree. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so all this stuff has been happening to Daredevil, Matt Murdock, over the last several issues. Even going all the way back to issue one, I guess, you can kind of plant the seeds of everything that's been going on in these last couple issues, where things have been appearing and disappearing, and he thinks he sees things, and he thinks maybe he's going crazy. How did these things appear here, and why did this disappear when I just had it? And it's revealed how all that is going on, with the reveal of the new villain, who is right on the cover of the book. The cover of the book is essentially the last page of the issue.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. And the big villain that that Mark Waid put together here for Matt Murdock to face is the Coyote, who is someone we've seen before in the pages of this very book.
Yes, yes it is. And I think it's an interesting take on this character and a good way to, like, update him for the modern times.
Yes, and if you remember, there was a time at DC when Geoff Johns was just cutting his teeth on books like JSA, as we had mentioned before, and The Flash, and he was taking these villains that people thought were lame wads and, you know, all this other stuff, and he was making them cool, you know, kind of giving them a fresh coat of paint, changing their story, changing their motives a little bit, but still keeping them true to their original characters. And I would be all for Mark Waid doing that with every single lame lame Daredevil villain, which is what he could be doing here, because I know he's going back to the Stilt Man well later on this year.
Oh, that could be interesting. And like I said, and he was one of them who did it while he was at DC too, with a couple mm-hmm. of villains, made them cool. Like, as far as I was concerned, even before Geoff Johns made the Rogues cool, they weren't bad in Waid's run. They were different, mm-hmm. but you know, I still thought he did a good job with them. And he's a guy, like we said, you know, I've loved his stuff for a long time, and I think that could be, like you said, one of the things, him doing this on Daredevil, and hopefully with Hulk, you know, just doing some new things with the villains in there. You know, I'll give him leeway. He wants to make Stiltman cool. I think he can do it.
Well, again, he made the Coyote cool just by his look, and I'm interested to see the story of how the Coyote got from the last time we saw him mm-hmm. to this time that we saw him. And I think we're still kind of staying pretty spoiler-free.
Yes. And the thing with it, too, is it makes, when you find out who the character is, how all of this stuff comes about, it makes total sense. And I'm like, mm-hmm. that's like the brilliant part about it. You're like, okay, how did all that happen? Like, well, that's how he works. So it just works beautifully.
So Daredevil continues to be a great book, not only a great book, but possibly one of the best books being published today.
I would agree. I mean, 19 issues of it, it's got to be No, we're at 19 and a .1. Great to see Daredevil, you know, being created by Mark Waid and being pushed to the forefront.
There was those two issues where it crossed over with the Punisher and Avenging Spider-Man as well. So we're almost at 22 issues.
Yeah, if it's not written by Mark Waid, it doesn't count to me. So, and he might have helped a little, but no, it's just his voice is in this book since issue one when he made him.
Well, actually, you know, as we get into it, the Avenging Spider-Man issue was written by him. The Punisher issue was co-written by him and Greg Rucka. And there's actually an issue of Amazing Spider-Man that ties into it with the Black Cat stuff.
Yeah, no. No, it's so just good in Daredevil for me. I'm only messing with you. Those storylines were good.
I'm just trying to heap more praise on Daredevil.
Yeah, as you should. It's a good book. Because you've gotten, like, I think, what, 1,000 readers to the book now on your own?
I wish I could. I wish there was a way. Oh, and actually, that's the thing. I actually have the .1 issue as one of the giveaways that I'm giving away either at my folks' house or at the super secret science job to some lucky kid who comes trick-or-treating next week.
That could change some kid's life.
I hope it does. I have that, and I have a bunch of those Grimm fairy tale books, so we'll see which one they grab.
I think I know which one, if some of them might grab. But that could send him down the road that we've gone down, to our hardcore addiction of comics.
That is true. It all starts somewhere. So I talked about Daredevil 19 being a great book, and Daredevil maybe being the best book of 2012, but there is a new book on the scene that is giving it a run for its money. In my opinion, this is a book that initially I was apprehensive about. I was leery about even picking up this book to begin with. And if it came to this point and I was not reading this book and I heard about it, I'd be kicking myself for being a fool, because Hawkeye is such a good book.
I like Hawkeye. I'm going to disagree with you on the art, but the story-wise, I think this is a real, like, fun, like, you know, street-level character, like, you know, like with Daredevil, like, you're not going to see a lot of, like, cosmic Thanos showing up, or who knows, you might in Daredevil when Wade did that Kazar versus Thanos. But just Hawkeye, I'm just having a lot of fun. I never thought I'd say that, because I don't think I've read Hawkeye more than like a dozen issues in like his Avengers here and there. Mm-hmm. So to say that I'm really enjoying this book, like, blows me away. I like the way he was counting down the bad decisions he's made.
Yes.
And it was working perfectly. And then I like the little boxes of when he says what arrow they are. They show you the tip, so it looks like, you know, you can get an idea of how it works maybe and everything. I thought that was really cool. But I don't know. This is the same Aja that drew Iron Fist, which I loved. I loved, and I think, now granted, you know, Iron Fist was, you know, martial arts, and they had, like, the mystic city of Kunlun, so, you know, it's got to look bigger and badder. This, you know, it's like street level, but I think he's way too minimalistic on this, and that's what kind of just, like, throws me off. But I love the book anyway.
No, see, I really think that his style fits this book. I know there's another artist coming up in a couple issues. I don't know if they're replacing David Aja on the book. I don't know if they're just a replacement for, you know, permanently. But I think David Aja and Matt Fraction are killing it on this book, using every aspect of how to tell a story in an interesting way. Every issue has almost been a different way that they tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Aja's art, like, really helps that. This book may even have my favorite panel of the year in it. I think you know the panel I'm talking about.
I don't know what panel that is.
Oh, goodness. There's the one where...
No, I'm joking. Is it the one with the little Hawkeye head?
You talked before about how you would read issues of Quantum and Woody by yourself and just crack up laughing, just killing yourself. When I came upon that page and I saw that, and just in the context of what's going on and what it looks like, I lost it. I was just like, I'm done. This is the most ridiculous thing, the most ridiculously awesome thing.
Okay, I just want to say about Aja's art, I think, you know, the way he lays out his story and the way he tells his story is beautiful. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm with you. I totally get that. He's done some cool stuff. The way he, like, in a few issues ago, he was like, you know, Hawkeye just had the newspapers laying around him, and it was just saying random things to, like, show that he was worried about the way the world, like, you know, terrorism and, you know, like, you know, bad stuff happening and just like that. I'm like, he's really cool with that. I just wish he was a little more, I don't know, like, detailed in the look of it. That's the only thing the only way I can put it.
I'll get you to come around on David Aja's art. I got a friend of mine to come around on Chris Somney's art in Daredevil. He hated it first, and now he's right on board. I'd gotten a text from him that just started off with, "Well, you did it again." And I'm like, "What did I do now?" He's like, "I like the art in Daredevil."
We'll see. I think I might fight you on this one just for the you know, to have some friction on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But no.
Yeah, let's just get like a phony feud going between us for no reason.
We could have like an election campaign on whether you're for or against Aja's art on Hawkeye.
No, I'm super cool with having a little bit of disagreement. You know, we both shouldn't like the same stuff and both shouldn't read the same stuff week in and week out. It just so happens that Todd and I both have similar tastes, and that is reading good comics.
Yes, except for you don't read Doctor Who or watch Doctor Who. But other than that, that's neither here nor there.
Well, there is one book that I did not read that you read this past week, and that was the Marvel Zombies Halloween special by Fred Van Lente. So do you want to regale us with your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I had this is what it should be. This book was a lot of fun, you know, had some crazy, you know, Marvel characters running around as zombies, and then like a few like touching moments. Basically, the book is about a woman and her kid who like, you know, are living in the zombie world, like now that we've had them on different Earths. I don't even know where it belongs, but you don't need to know that. And she's just, they're figuring out that it's Halloween on the calendar, and the kid doesn't know what Halloween is because the zombies, and she has to go get stuff, and the kid gets into trouble ensues while the kid's alone, and the zombies are showing up. And it's kind of cool because the whole issue, you're trying to figure out who the female character is, if she's a character we've seen before or if we haven't, and like if the kid's anybody. But in the end, it all works out like really well, and like when you find out what's going on, I really enjoyed this, and the art was beautiful. It was by Vidi. I don't know if that's how you say his name. It's one of those that me and you butcher.
Yes.
Whole names. It's Alessandro Vidi, but he just makes it look really good, and with the coloring and everything. And just for a little like taste of Halloween fun, zombies, you know, carnage, pick it up. If you just, you know, one shot, you don't need anything else. You don't need to get, you know, 20 other Marvel zombie books. Just fun.
And that's the thing, I did get all these Marvel zombie books, and I think they all left my house in the last cull
right.
of books, and I know I have another one coming up here soon.
See, I have all my Marvel zombies because I really enjoy them, because people forget that they first appeared in Ultimate FF,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of my favorite little books. I keep them, and I want to get rid of them because as the Marvel zombies went on, they got less and less, you know, good, and like by the last miniseries or whatever, I was like, you know, no, this isn't for me. But this one-shot kind of reminds me of how the first couple minis in the one-shot and the Ultimate FF were. It was just that fun without being bogged down in the history of the zombies after a while. It was like, oh, well, you don't eat, and if you don't eat for a while, you lose the hunger. I was like, no, I just want zombies attacking. Just give me that, and I'm fine with that. And that's what this does. It gets back to that with some cool twists.
Yeah, now see, I did have a soft spot in my heart for some of those other miniseries, I think like 3 and 4, that were also written by Fred Van Lente, where it was like the crazy mix-match team of Machine Man and Howard the Duck, but I think it was just because I missed Machine Man from Next Wave.
Yeah. See, that's when it was started falling apart for me. I liked the first miniseries. I even liked the Evil Dead miniseries.
The Army of Darkness one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Army of Darkness. I always call it Evil Dead because of Matt, you know.
Like, yeah.
Evil Dead, that's where it's at. 2, not 1. So I enjoyed that. There was a Dead Days one shot that was really cool. But like I felt right around like 3 and 4... That's where they lost me. So, but this kind of brought me back. I'm like, if you're gonna do more like this, where it's not continuity like laden, just have random stories, I'm like, I'd be cool with that.
So yes, maybe they'll bring this back if this sells well.
Buy it. Tell everybody out there to buy it, so I can get more of these. I would like a Christmas zombie story too.
Ooh, there you go. Well, it wasn't solicited this year. Maybe it'll be solicited next year.
Oh, no, I'm sad.
So the last book that both Todd and I read from this past week would be Walking Dead number 103. We talked about the Walking Dead TV show earlier, but it all begins with the Walking Dead comic book. Issue 103 just came out this past week, the beginning of a new storyline. I think the most recent compendium collecting, I think, issues 49 to 100 was the number one book on the New York Times bestseller this past week as well.
Yes, so that Kirkman making that cheddar.
And that's the top ten of this was actually a news story. Number one was that. Number 10 was the first trade.
He's got the bookends.
Yeah, so what'd you think of the beginning of this new storyline there, Todd?
I was talking with Matt about this because he kept tweeting us, like, if we had read it yet.
Yeah, yeah. Like, we walked in the store last week, and like, he's like, oh man, Walking Dead 103. I'm like, I don't even have my books in my hands yet. Matt, what's going on?
Yep. But I have to agree with him. I mean, I have never laughed out loud at a Walking Dead issue. Negan in this was killing me in a way that, like, I know you may have made a prediction that after what he did, he may not be around long. I'm going to just, like, shake Kirkman's tree to say, you get rid of this guy too fast. And this is a guy to keep around for a long, long time. The things he does and the things he says, just, I love a good jerk character. And I think this, he sums it up all the way right down to the last line in the book that I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't think you can put it any more worse than that.
Well, again, I think we can kind of get into things in regards to what's going on in the story. The last couple issues essentially was after the fallout from issue 100, and still being very careful in what we say in regards to that, because there are people waiting for the trades on a lot of that stuff. Rick has kind of made the decision to, like, okay, we're going to do what this guy says. He has us outnumbered. You know, we're just going to do what he says. We have to do this to preserve everyone, essentially, is what he's saying. But that's not his real plan. He starts letting a couple other people in. The guy Jesus, Jesus, who led them to this group many, many issues ago. That is Rick's liaison, going to infiltrate and spy on them. He does let Andrea in on his plan, and, there's a couple people he doesn't let in on his plan, and that's where the downfall is going to be.
You think?
Because there's one person in particular that he's not letting in on the plan.
And no, he's not, and he, or she, already starts shaking the tree before it's, right. You know, before, well, the book's over.
Again, we're going to get right into it. You know, we talked about this, both privately and on this show, that I think this book is less about Rick and more about Carl when everything's going to be said and done.
Yeah, when you look at it, it's kind of the way, like, you kind of get the bait and switch, kind of the way, like, Star Wars is about Darth Vader, and you really don't know it until you, like, you look at the whole, you know, overarching story.
Yep.
I do think that this is the growth into the character that Carl is going to become, but yes, it's just that Rick is the catalyst for most of what makes Carl Carl. So at some point, you know, Rick's going to go away. I totally believe that. Like, you know, I don't have any knowledge or anything, but I think Carl would make a great character, you know, like following him in the book. I'm with you.
And again, Rick is going to need to let Carl know what the plan is eventually.
No, he's not going to tell Carl, and Carl's just going to do something stupid.
Well, that's the thing. Yes, Carl is going to do something stupid, and it's going to be Rick's fault for not letting Carl in on the plan.
But he's just a boy. Boy with a gun and a mean attitude.
He is not a boy. He is, you know, he has been changed by everything that's going on.
I'm with you. I saw it. Like I said, I even mentioned a couple of episodes ago when he was leaning up against the counter talking to Rick at one point, and it wasn't father son. Mm-hmm. It was two men talking about how we're going to defend and maybe kill people. And I'm like, Carl's all grown up. He's not a child anymore, and I'm with you, but he's still not, he doesn't have like he has an education, he just doesn't have enough of an education. And even if you told him, I still think he would do something stupid because he's too hot-headed right now.
Again, I don't know. I definitely think that because Rick is not letting Carl in on the plan, Carl is going to be the one to take Negan down before Rick gets a chance to get his plan into motion. And I think that's going to be the bigger overarching crux of all this, is that by Rick not letting Carl in on the plan, Carl is going to do something dumb, which is going to go after Negan. Whether he's going to kill Negan or not is another story, but he's going to go after Negan by himself, or he's going to take a step toward Negan that he shouldn't be taking this soon in the plan. And Carl's going to find out about the plan too late, and that's going to build resentment between Carl and Rick.
When you say more resentment, I don't see yes. resentment there.
Oh.
Between, oh, you mean from Carl, for Rick, or Carl's point of view? Because, like, I think there's no resentment on Rick's side.
No. But that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. There is no resentment. You were gonna, sorry.
Because Rick still sees Carl as just a boy, just his son.
Mm-hmm. And Carl thinks he should be thinking of him as more, and he should be
yes.
helping out and blah, blah, blah. I got you. See, I thought you were going to say in the end it'll be like Rick, like, you messed up and now he's not happy with him. Like, I don't ever almost see that happening, but I can see how you're saying, like, Carl will be, you know, like Rick to his father, like, you know what, you should have told me, blah, blah, blah. I'm with you now, and severing, like, not ties, but just that trust that they have. I totally understand what you're saying, but I just don't know. Like, has Rick ever made a decision that went bad? So I don't know.
And that's the thing. Carl's been there for every single bad decision and every single good decision.
That's true. But I think he focuses on the bad way too much.
Yes. Well, again, he's just a boy.
Oh, no. You said he was a man before. Make up your mind. Now what is it?
Well, here's what I can tell you. He should include Carl in his plan.
I walk the line on that one because I don't know if you can trust him because he's too crazy. He's too nuts. Rick's trying to keep this as close to his vest, and he's smart on that. You can't have too many people knowing because, you know, like I think there's an old Benjamin Franklin quote. You're going to get some history knowledge here where it says, like, three people can keep a secret if two of them are dead. And I always like that. And that's what I think. And the more people he tells, the more chance that it has to slip and get out there. And I know you say you should tell Carl and everything, but I'm with him. I even think he took a risk telling you know, some of the people that he did already. I was like, mm-hmm. telling Andre, I was like, you should just keep your mouth shut and suck it up. But that's my point of view.
Again, I'll say it one more time. He should have included Carl in his plans.
All right. I think I'm going to make that my ringtone when this is yes. all over. But. Walking Dead goodness. Good. So let's put it that way.
Yes. Walking Dead good. Bone of contention here. I think Rick is making a mistake by not including Carl in his plan. I will keep saying it over and over and over again.
I was going to say, I don't think you're quite clear enough on your point of view on that.
Oh, goodness. So was there anything else that we read last week that we'd like to discuss at this point? Or can we get into next week's books and the Twitter question and the everything else?
I think we can move on safely.
All right. So what is the book that you are most looking forward to coming out this week, my good man?
I'm going to go with All-Star Western 13. I know it's a go-to for me, but I've seen the cover, and it's Jonah Hex fighting clowns in Gotham City. That never gets old. That never gets old. So I want to see that. And I think it's clowns from the Holly Circus, so that makes it even cooler that it's Nightwing's, Dick Grayson's old stomping grounds, like, you know, back in the day. I'm like, I like the way they just keep this book kind of in continuity, like, with Batman, they try to keep it linked, even though it's a century apart. So I think that's cool.
At the very least, it's tied to, you know, Gotham City. You right. know,
the history. They keep it close, and I'm cool with that.
Yes, the book I'm most looking forward to this week is The End of an Era on a book. After 8 years. Ed Brubaker is finally closing his run on Captain America. It's issue 19. He's been on the book for exactly 8 years. With all assorted one-shots and minis and everything else. He is coming up on nearly 120 issues of Captain America that he did in the 8 years he was on the book.
And that's... just him and I think, is it Scott Eaton drawing it? I'm not sure. But I know if it's Ed Brubaker alone, I'm like, I almost want to pick up this book too because I miss, you know, I dropped it a few months back because I thought it was losing its luster. But just Ed Brubaker telling a Cap story, one last one, I think it might get my cash.
Yeah, he did tweet the other day saying, that this is a standalone story. It's a one-shot issue. It's essentially just his wrap-up of everything that's been going on over the course of his run, and then he has a text piece in the back kind of talking about everything. And I'm sure, you know, it'll be very, you know, because this will be the first time in, you know, more than 8 years, whenever the second Mark Waid run on Captain America was, this will be the first time that Captain America is not a definite pull for me. It will be a maybe. I will be picking up the first issue by Rick Remender next month. Whether or not it sticks around is going to be another story.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you.
Yep. So again, very much looking forward to Captain America this week. The end of an era. Like I said, Brubaker had a great, great run. And check this last issue out. You know, let's bump it up on this on the charts, hey.
Yep.
So, before we get into the Twitter question from last week, of course, it is time to hit up the plugs. I would be remiss to mention iTunes. It has been almost a month since we have gotten a rating or review on iTunes, and we have tons and tons of new listeners. Even if you want to create fake accounts and go on there and give us reviews, if you've already done so, please do so. The more positive reviews that we get, the more people get to see the podcast, bumps us up in whatever the fancy iTunes algorithm behind the scenes is, and the more people that know about us, the more people listen, and the more great times we get to share here together talking about comic books.
I totally agree. Get out there and give us a good review. 19 stars. Is that how many they have?
19 stars. Minimum 19 stars. Okay. Yes, indeed. So, of course, you can always follow the show on Twitter. That is where the magic happens. We always have the latest and greatest news breaking, as it happens many times, at the Weekly Long Box. Just Weekly Long Box. I said the Weekly Long Box, but it's actually just Weekly Long Box. I'll say that much more often. And you can always follow the show hosts ourselves individually. Todd is at Roker the Joker, R-O-W-K-E-R, the Joker. And I am L.F. Chikarason. I will spell that out. That's C-H-I-K-A-R-A-S-O-N. Last week, I was a little punchy, and I said, oh, it's spelled like it's spelled, or something like that. And one of our listeners gave me a hard time about it, and rightfully so. I was a little punchy last week.
Good for you. Good. You needed your comeuppance on that one.
I needed to be taken to the woodshed on that one.
Yep.
I was getting a little too high and mighty about, like, oh, here's how you spell my, you know, everyone knows how to spell my dumb last name.
I'm so famous, you should know it. That's your motto. You know who I am? Oh. I don't know how many times I've heard you say that in just casual conversation. Don't you know who I am?
Oh, goodness. Well, our question from last week was best team. And, you know, as I mentioned, you can be as specific or as general as you wanted. And a lot of our listeners were very specific in regards to what team is their favorite. Listener Kevin Ford mentioned the Fantastic Four, just saying generally anytime there's a Fantastic Four book, he will get it. We had CM Towns on Twitter specifically mentioning the all-new, all-different X-Men, which debuted around Giant Size X-Men number one, and Hobbit Hottie on Twitter mentioned that as her favorite team. Jay Bandoy on Twitter mentioned the X-Men Blue Era when they split the X-Men up into two teams, and that's probably the more famous team that you would know from the old 90s cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
We had some Avengers love in there. We had Dale A, that's Dale_A, a new listener there. He mentioned the first team that Bendis put together in New Avengers was his favorite team. We also had Fantastic Four New Warriors come up through Team Hellions, a longtime listener. Then we had some really good quirky oddball teams, which I was very happy to see. MRSR, that's Mr. Senior. That's MRSR Living on Twitter, and congratulations on the pending arrival. He mentioned Section 8 from Hitman, and that's very fresh in my head because I've been rereading through that lately.
Because that's one of the trades that they actually finished that you were trying to get.
That is true, and that is a great team. It is they who assisted Hitman in taking down Lobo in a great, great one-shot story.
Mm-hmm.
Will Kinchalia, who No, he's not looking forward to this superior Spider-Man, but I'll get him on board as well. He had mentioned the original, the first appearance of the Legion of Substitute Heroes, and that's a fun, fun Silver Age story if there ever was one.
I love the Legion of Substitute Heroes.
Yes, and another new listener, Jody Yearden, a Regal fan on Twitter, and I hope that's William Regal and not any other Regal, because I don't know any others. That's the only one that matters. He had mentioned specifically the JLA Justice League of Antarctica, headed by Nort with Big Sur and Major Disaster and all that sort of stuff on there. They had very few appearances, but all of them very memorable.
One of the most memorable issues of all time was that one, the first time they appeared fighting cannibalistic penguins. How could you not love that?
Now, I will say this, again, I think I know what Todd's choice is, and I think Todd knows what my choice is, and we did have one person, I think, agree with us, so I'm going to ask you to begin, Todd. What was your pick for best team?
Atari Force. No. Love that book. It goes way back to my childhood. No, it's... Justice League International, the Keith Giffen, DeMatteis, McGuire run, all of it, I don't want to pick because characters came and went, but as long as it had Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, I was good.
Yes, that's my choice as well, and Zeus Ramos, another longtime listener, chose that team as well, but unfortunately, I have to concede and say that while that is a great team, that Giffen DeMatteis run on Justice League International, Justice League Europe throw in there, more so the Justice League International side, with as long as Booster and Beetle were on there, that's good stuff. But I'm going to say that our listeners are right on this one. Majority rules. Because Rick Williams, John Siler, Jesse Tipton all had the same great idea, and we're fools for not thinking of it. I think we're blinded by our love for that Justice League run because they chose Secret Six as the best team, and that is the best team in comics.
That's a good team.
Ah.
That's a great team, but it's 1-1A, baby. That's the way I put it. 1-1A.
Well, again, agree to disagree this week.
Okay. That's the friction that we love on this show.
Oh, goodness. Well, again, thank you, everyone, for partaking in our Twitter question from last week. And Todd, I understand you have a Twitter question for this week.
Yes, because our show next week is going to drop on Halloween, which is the spooky, scary holiday, if you don't know. And I was thinking, who is your favorite supernatural character? Don't get scared now, Leonard. Don't get scared. There's a lot of them out there, and I know you get jumpy on it. But I don't even have an answer for this one. I just because the Halloween thing. So I have to sit and think of this one. This isn't a softball for me.
Yeah, this is one that when you talk supernatural, I know there's a lot of easy ones. I hope you don't just say it's going to be Dr. Doom because he can do some magic.
Well, we did have that discussion where I was going to do a trivia question each week that the answer could be Dr. Doom for me. Because you're right. He does know magic. So he
yes.
could be the answer. And then next week's question is going to be, who's your favorite ruler of a country? And we just keep going down. And I could do Dr. Doom. I want to see if I can do that for 52 weeks in a row. I'm going to start that with the 53rd show.
Well, that is our Twitter question for next week, the 50th episode. 50 is a big milestone.
Yes,
we were going to have a little bit of a celebration, if you will, but I think we're going to have our celebration leading into the 52, the 1 year, official 1 year anniversary of the show here. I'm counting the zero episode that we did. That counts. That's in continuity. It's in canon.
I don't know. I'll let you pick the rules. It's in canon.
So, next week question is your favorite supernatural character in comics. And that does cover a lot of ground. And, if you feel that there's a discrepancy, make your argument and we'll, hash it out here on the air. And of course, throw that hashtag in there in GrizzWLQ, and it'll help us find that much easier. And I know we're right around that hour mark, but Todd, you have a story to tell from New York Comic Con, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's how I upset a person in line getting a signature in front of me at the DC booth. I was at the Jimmy Palmiotti and Moritat booth getting a sketch from Moritat. And when I was done, my friend told me, Dagnino, the current artist on Suicide Squad right now, is at the next booth. And if you go over, they do you little free sketches until they cut you off. They give you a little sign that says you are the last person and, you know, nobody else can get in line. So I went over and there was this woman in front of me standing there dressed like Death.
Death from the Sandman comics.
Death from the Sandman comics. Not the one, the Marvel one with the big skeleton face.
Right.
But she was getting Suicide Squad signed by Adam Glass and Dagnino. They were both there. And I had my sketchbook and we were talking. I'm like, well, what are you doing? She's like, I'm getting this signed. What are you doing? I said, I'm getting this signed and I'm getting a sketch in my sketchbook from Dagnino. And she's like, who are you getting? And I was like, I'm thinking Harley Quinn. I don't have a Harley Quinn in my sketchbook. And she's like, well, which costume are you getting? And I'm like, probably the new one, because that's what Dagnino knows. I don't know if he has reference for the old costume, you know, so I'm just going to make it easy because, you know, I'm the last person. Don't want to, you know, be like, we have to look up reference. And she's like, well, why do you want that costume? And I'm like, just because... that's what he does. He's like, I don't know how you can get that in your sketchbook, that new costume. And I'm like, okay, I see where this is going. So now the wheels start turning in my head. I'm like, all right, I got a tweaker. I'm sorry. And I'm like, that's because I don't mind the stripper costume. And she's like, that's exactly what's wrong with it. That it's a stripper costume. You know, she's wearing next to nothing. And I'm like, well, you know, like, I don't hear anybody complaining about Submariner, and he's just walking around in a Speedo. And she's like, who's Submariner? And I'm like, guy at Marvel, you know, swims in the ocean, been around since, like, the 30s. And she's like, well, I don't know about him. But I just can't believe you're getting that thing in your sketchbook. I'm like, well, you know, we can agree to disagree. And she's like, well, you're wrong. And I'm like, all right, I still have to tweet. I'm like, well, a lot of people tell me that, but it's because I'm right and they can't handle it. She's like, no, you're wrong. That's horrible, right? So I'm like, okay, we did that back and forth for a little bit, and I'm laughing in my head. And then she goes, so now I'm opening up my sketchbook for getting ready for the Dagnino sketch, because I keep a little backer to put behind the sketch in case he uses marker, it doesn't bleed through. And she's like, what's that? And I'm like, a Moritat sketch. She's like, I wanted to get Moritat's signature on my All-Star Western and Jimmy Palmiotti. I said, well, they're over there, but if you leave this line, I'm the last one, and you probably won't get back in, but I don't know how long they'll have until they shut that line down. And she goes, would you get this sign for me while I go over there? And I'm like, sure, I'm a nice guy. Tell me that you love the Harley stripper costume and there's nothing wrong with it. She goes, what? I'm like, tell me you love the Harley stripper costume and there's nothing wrong with it. She looks at me and she's like, I love the Harley stripper costume and there's nothing wrong with it. I was like, see, that wasn't that hard. I'll do it. So she gets out of line, goes over, gets her, you know, thing signed by Jimmy Palmiotti and Moritat. And I get up there, I get him signed, and I'm standing there, you know, after talking to him for a while. It was a cool conversation. She comes back. She's like, did you get it signed? I'm like, yeah, I had it. She just ripped it out of my hand and stormed off. I was like, my one friend walked over. He's like, you're evil, man. I'm like, she started it. All I wanted to do was get a sketch. I don't know.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, you know what? Todd had told me that story before the show started last week, and he was afraid that it would be, you know, it would paint him in a negative light. And I think, you know, I told my wife that story and she was aghast that woman acted that way to you.
Oh, I'm glad that she's in my corner.
Yes.
I honestly thought, I was like, people are going to, you know, like be like, you're one of those guys who's a jerk to women at cons. I was like, no, I'm having a good time. I asked her what she was doing, but it was one of those, you just saw her like the channel change as soon as I told her I was getting the new Harley costume and she was aghast. And I was like,
yeah,
I really don't need this kind of a thing. I just want to get my sketch and move on.
Oh, goodness.
But I have to admit, you know, for someone with principles, she folded faster than Superman on laundry day.
And that's the part that I love, because Todd is about as easygoing, as nice as a person that you will meet. He will, you know, if you were his friend, he will do everything in his power to, you know, do nice things and be a nice guy and not upset the apple cart. And he even does that for strangers, because that's just the sort of guy Todd is. But if you cross him, it goes from 0 to 60, and he is a man you do not want to be on the bad side of, because he will not do horrible things to you. He will just play with you like how a cat toys with a mouse.
Thank you. I'm glad my Machiavellian, you know, side just entertains you.
It does. It does. See me, I'll just shut people out with coldness. I'll just, you know.
Yeah, I like playing with the toys. That's basically what it comes down to.
Oh, goodness. Well, folks, I do thank you all for listening. We've gone on a very long time. We appreciate you all for listening. Of course, follow us on Twitter. Give us the iTunes reviews. And for Todd, this is Leonard, closing out episode 49 of the Weekly Long Box. We will see you all here next week.